only to drive right over my bike. Its 2-ton weight crushing the frame as its tires ripped mercilessly through my tanks and navigation tower. Blinded by the fish filling the air, I heard the impact right next to me. I knew exactly what had happened, the crushing sound unmistakable above the roar of the car's engine. I couldn't believe it. If I had fallen the other way across the track, I would have been dead for sure. The car stopped about 30 meters ahead of me. The navigator opened his door and stood next to the car, one hand still resting on the door frame, and gave me a thumbs up as if to check whether I was alive. I was still on my knees in the dirt right next to the track when my mangled bike came into sight as the dust cleared. I yelled, "No, get back here." But he jumped back into the car and they sped off, leaving me stranded next to what had been my bike. I was seething. He had almost killed me, ridden over my bike, and then left as though it was an everyday occurrence. I couldn't believe his callous indifference for my life. Alone, I stared down through tired, bloodshot eyes at the wreckage, and the horrifying reality hit me. I was out of the Dakar Rally. Words cannot describe the feelings that came over me. It is true that every Dakar competitor makes sacrifices to be there. Each one has forfeited holidays, relationships, homes, jobs, and worldly possessions to take part in this daring, crazy race. All of us have trained for years to reach the level needed to compete. But it felt different for me. It seemed so much more. I'd promised I'd never give up, but this was out of my control. It was the end. A dream destroyed, a fight lost. It had taken me nearly 10 years to recover from the accident that had paralyzed me. 51 nights in hospital, over 350 physio sessions, countless hours in the gym, more than 30,000 kilometers of hard training and untold sacrifices. Was this how it was going to end? Chapter 2. It's a great day for racing. I've always loved bikes. It started with my first second-hand bicycle, a red Rally Striker that I got for Christmas one year when I was about 6. From grade 1, I would ride my bicycle to school and back each day along with my brother and friends. We would practice our wheelies, bunny hops, and skids on the sandy pavements of Kempton Park. When I grew up, wheelies were always measured in lampposts. Basically, how many of them you passed while on the back wheel. Bunny hops were measured by the number of stacked bricks leapt over, and skids by the number of steps measuring the drag line in the sand. These skids were extra cool if you added the 90-degree turn at the end. As I got older, like about 10, skids were no longer considered cool, with someone, no doubt echoing their parents, commenting on how it just stuffed up your tires. My brothers and I made ramps in the garden from pieces of wood placed on stacked bricks and a track that went through most of the flower beds, much to my mom's despair. The far end of the front patio, with its metered drop-off, was the biggest stunt in the garden, and it would take a serious dare and my buddy's taunts of, "Are you chicken, but?" to attempt it. I also used my bike for my newspaper round. I delivered the Bild newspaper in the early mornings before returning home to get ready for school. The biggest danger in my mind was the dogs that escaped out of the yards and chased me down the street. I remember riding for my life, my legs spinning on the pedals at maximum RPM while the dogs snapped at my ankles. At the time, it was extremely scary. There was one house in particular at the top of the road that had a low precast wall, which their Alsatian could easily jump over. If he heard me coming, I was tickets. Each morning, I would park my bike about 2 houses away and then creep towards the letterbox. Winter was best, as I could use the darkness to hide. Then, on my elbows and knees, I would leopard crawl the last few meters until I was directly under the letterbox. I would reach up and carefully slide the rolled paper into the box. It was a delicate operation, making sure I didn't alert the beast. In my mind, I was Indiana Jones, swapping a golden statue for a bag of sand. Then, carefully, back the same way to my bike, only to repeat the exercise the next day. On Wednesday afternoons, I delivered the local free newspaper, the Kempton Express. I slowly saved up money from my newspaper rounds and pooled the birthday money from my grandparents with the Christmas money from my parents and bought my first BMX, a brand new golden black Rally Racing. The flowerbed tracks then started to move into the felt over the road from our house and onto the local